Hey guys, this is Tim again, filling in for Tamara. Here's our episode. Here's today's episode, part two of the other part one that we did last semester. So if you guys are, so if some of you are new here, you probably didn't know we recorded an episode last semester. I think it was one of our first episodes, actually, with me, Anthony, our president, and George, our VP external. We are all part of the same Capstone team. We've been working together for a good few years now, and these guys are just amazing. I couldn't do Indu without them. And I'm inviting them again back to the podcast to again glean from their wisdom. They are graduating. We're all graduating this semester. And this is really one of our last times to give you guys some fourth year Indu wisdom, some tips before we leave. I really don't want this episode to be like any other, as if you guys are like me, you kind of googled up tips to succeed in your first year of engineering, and every website you look at is probably going to give you the same thing, same results. My goal in this episode is to give you something new, actually something fresh, something new. I've tasked George and Anthony to find something special they could talk about. I've already got my special tip, so I'll share that with you guys. So, without further ado, enjoy this one, guys. Hello, everyone. We're back. Part two of the episode we made back in fall. It's been a long time in making, but I'm back here at my two best buddies. So if people listen to the first episode, they should remember us. But I kind of want to introduce ourselves again, but
Like,
not.
it was months ago. I'm not going to put that pressure on
Okay.
them. Why would
I want us to introduce ourselves again. But here's a twist. George, you'll introduce Anthony. Anthony, you'll introduce me. And I'll introduce George.
Why is this? No, because then, okay, sure.
Okay.
I
This is
guess
funny. I like
this is
this.
weird.
I'll go first. Okay. I'm going to introduce George. Okay. So hi everyone. It's me again. I was the host for the podcast last year. I'm
Wait,
super
oh no, I don't
excited.
like this. I don't like this method. Can you this wait,
Dude.
don't pretend to be him. That's gonna confuse people.
Oh man.
Third
Okay.
person.
Third person.
Yeah, you're not him. That's gonna be like, oh, this guy that's talking now is George. No, it's not. That's Tim.
All right. Third person. George is the Greek resident at school. He is the number one Greek expert on Greek culture, literature, history, Greek inventions, which means pretty much everything, and music. He plays bouzouki on his free time. He has his business. He plays music at weddings, Greek weddings, and he is extremely passionate about, obviously, lean manufacturing.
You nailed it to a T, Tim.
There
You
you
nailed
go.
it to a T. All right, I'll go next with my good buddy Anthony. So Anthony is the current and the outgoing president of the IASC this year. Anthony honestly is the big brains of our group. He,
Oh yeah.
anytime we're struggling with something, he looks at us and is like, "But this is so simple. How come you didn't do it this way?" And then he tells us how to do it within a couple of seconds, which is great. Anthony also, for those who don't know him, he's a huge lover of frogs. He loves frogs, anything to do with the color green and frogs. And what else can I say
Appreciate that
about
part,
it? Oh
definitely.
yeah, no problem. I mean, it's the main thing. I mean, Anthony
It's
keeps
the
It is definitely, I'm not gonna lie, it is a big part of the things I like. They got me a frog plush for my birthday, and it's on my bed next to my pillow.
Looks so cute.
So yeah, that thank you, George, for that description. I'm gonna introduce Tim. Tim is a fake industrial engineer. He is a mech engineer at heart.
That's so funny.
He is immediately graduating and going on to mech engineering. He is a traitor. And I will never forgive him for his transgression. But no, seriously, he's senior VP at IAC, and I guess very passionate about 3D printing, and a good leader to have on your side. Yeah.
I didn't know you viewed me as a traitor. Okay.
You're a blood traitor. It's even worse. It's like you were born into industrial engineering and you betrayed the family. I can't believe you.
You should have said that with an Italian accent. Why did you do that to
Oh, I'm not gonna do that just in case.
the
It doesn't always turn out well when I do the Italian accent, so let's just
family?
it sometimes is very inaccurate. Anyways, continue.
Okay, guys. So last semester we talked about the title of our episode was actually Why Industrial Engineering. We went into huge lengths of why we chose industrial engineering, or maybe why I made the mistake of industrial engineering. But that's another topic.
That could be a podcast episode in and of itself, but
Oh
it
yes.
was.
And we finished off talking about what are were our plans for the future on graduation. I want this episode to be kind of a look back. We're looking back at our past 4 to 5 years. So Anthony has been in school for 4 years. George and I have been here for 5 years. And one of the things that younger Indus always ask us is like, what are your tips? What should we do? How do we do it? And so I want to do this here. But you guys already know about that. You prepared a tip, and specifically a tip that you guys have used in school, and a tip that it's not usually found on the internet when you Google up, what are tips for industrial engineers or just engineering students in general. So that's gonna be it, guys. Who wants to go first?
I thought we agreed I was going to go last. So,
Oh,
George,
right.
all right, I'm put on the
I'm gonna
spot.
voluntold you that you're gonna go first.
Go for it,
All
George.
right, all right. So, hi everyone. One of my favorite tips that you can't really find this tip online, it's more from I use myself, is self-motivation and self-believing in yourself. Sounds a little bit cheesy, but just hear me out. I love motivating team. Like if you're on my team or if I'm on your team, I'm the piece of glue, like Caitlin calls me. I stick the team together and I motivate the team and I help us push forward. I love quotes and positive quotes. Every IAC meeting, you could ask Anthony and Tim. I've been doing it for the past 3 years. I've ended with a quote.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And I've made the promise with the new president coming in that they will continue doing a quote for every meeting in remembrance of what I used to do, which I really love. And my mentality is that the more you motivate yourself and the more you believe in yourself, more positive and great things happen related to school also. So I love, for example, ending every day also with a quote. I remember Caitlin had bought me this cute little calendar where every day it's a different quote, and I just peel it off. And I have a different quote to read at the end of every night, which is really adorable because I love that stuff, and I think it's the perfect way to motivate yourself and to keep you going. For example, I'm also a TA, and I like ending my tutorials every week with a positive quote for the students, and I give him like the pep talk with the motivation and all that, and they start clapping at the end of every tutorial.
Oh, really?
They actually
Nice.
clap. It's great. And I find it cute, it's something unique, it's something different, when you have someone motivating the team, it makes you smile, and I like seeing people smile. And the goal is for us to do university, yes, to do it well, but to be happy with it as well and to enjoy it as well. This is why I truly believe in motivation. I also love listening to motivational music on YouTube, You could write like the 300 Sparta music or whatever, you know. That's gonna motivate you. Something to pump you up before an exam. That's what I love doing. Putting my headphones, I blast some motivational music, and just keeps me going. So long story short, keep believing in yourself, keep being motivated, and it's gonna help push you through your university degree.
And he's trying to motivate you at the same time.
This is him actively trying to motivate you to motivate yourself. This is a teach a man to fish kind of thing. It's like a give a man a fish and he'll eat for a day, but teach a man to fish and he'll eat the rest of his lifetime. I have a favorite variation of that, which is give a man an apple and he'll keep the doctor away for a day, but teach a man to apple and he'll be a doctor for the rest of his life.
Hold on, say the second part again.
Wait, what?
Teach a man to apple and he'll be a doctor for the rest of his life. It's really weird. It's full nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why I love that variation of the saying. But George has ended all of our meetings with a quote. I specifically turn on the share screen permission so that he can share the quote with us while he's saying it. It is a very nice way to end every meeting because like no matter what we don't have like negative, overly negative meetings where like there's conflict or whatever, but like no matter what the topic is, even if you're all very tired, it's a nice way to bring people's spirits up at the end of the night, because we do have our meetings a little bit late because that's the only time people are available. Unfortunately,
it's also kind of our tradition. Every meeting we've ended with quotes, and what I've been most impressed is I don't think he's ever repeated a quote. I don't think they were
he's
all
even
unique.
Come up with a few himself.
That's true.
Yeah, it's it's usually for like more special occasions, like when it's like an end of the year or like beginning
giving
of the
ideas
year
for next week.
I am, because for those of you who don't know, we change president every May, and so next week we're having our last meeting of this mandate. So,
gonna be pretty special.
Yeah. But yeah, it is a very nice touch to end every meeting with a quote. Do you end every day with a quote as well? I didn't know that.
Sometimes. I'm going to be honest. I'm on and off with that. It depends if I'm tired and I just want to go straight to bed. Or okay. I try to end every day or start the day with a quote, you know, just to start on a positive or end on a good note.
Okay, that's nice.
My mom bought me not these motivational... Not quotes, because I know Caitlin got you, like, by the way, for those listening, Caitlin is the chair of ISC and also part of our Capstone team. Caitlin got you like a tearaway calendar that you can read a quote every day, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Okay.
My mom bought me, it was a few Christmases ago. It was like metallic sort of signs that has a quote on it. There's one that actually in the back of my office right now. It says, set your goals high and don't stop till you get there. So I have two kind of hang over my bed, and I see them every morning.
They're like metal plates that have writing on them?
Yeah, it's embossing. It's just like stamping.
Oh, cool.
Oh, wow, that's really cool.
There you go.
What did my mom get me for my birthday? She got me a Kirby coaster, I think. I know that was Christmas.
A Kirby toaster?
Coaster.
Ah,
you
coaster.
You know, the thing that you put a bottle on? She got me one of those.
Yeah, no, I don't have that. What is it?
A coast. We've had this conversation, and I'm not going to do this again, Tim. I know that you don't believe in toasters.
No, I do have a toaster at home, but not a coaster.
Anyways, Tim, would you like to share your tip with the podcast listeners?
Okay. My tip, actually, it really won't come as a surprise to the other guys, even if they heard my brainstorming. But I read this sort of statistic a few years ago. I'm going to try not to butcher it that much. The statistic went like this. 80%, so a huge majority of your habits are formed within your university years. And especially more if you live alone or with a roommate. It doesn't apply to us guys because we still live at home with our parents. But university is a huge time where you're really reinforcing patterns of life. And if you're not enforcing the right ones, you're going to have a rough start to your professional life. One example is, I know people are gonna hate me for this one, but sleeping in late every morning. I know Anthony has his perfect ritual. It's fine. But, you know, when we're on internships, you got to wake up a bit earlier. Kind of sucks a bit when you have to get
I
up.
Do that. That's fine.
Oh, yeah, you do. I know you've got the willpower for it. But
I just like sleeping until 10 a.m. It's fine.
Okay.
That's
okay.
Actually, I'm one of, I sometimes wake up at 9:30, and that's like considered somewhat early for my family.
Oh, wow.
We are a big family of sleepers. It is fantastic. I feel at home when it's like 10 a.m. and like we all like just woke up and we're like, hey guys, how's it going?
Okay, dang.
Yeah.
So at our house, my mom and I wake up at 5. My dad wakes
That's
up at
disgusting. I don't like that.
My dad wakes up at 5:30. My brother wakes up at 6. Yeah, 6. He snoozes a bit though. So 6:15. And then my sister wakes up at like 8.
Yeah, that's, I have the most respect for your sister. Like, I feel like I would get along best with your sister because like 8 a.m. is like probably the earliest I'm willing to wake up on any given day.
Oh yeah. We've tried scheduling meetings at
Capstone,
8 a.m., 9 a.m. Like, no.
Yeah, for Capstone, sometimes they would be like, hey, can we schedule this meeting for 8 a.m.? And I'm like, no, we can't. I'm not doing that.
He's like, even 9. Not.
9 a.m. is pushing it. Yeah, I'll admit.
Yeah.
It's rough.
If it's 9 a.m., you'll be cameras off and you'll still be
in PJs. I am still actively in my PJs, yeah.
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 I'm kind of in the middle of you guys with the, actually I'm more towards like Tim. I'm an early bird.
Yeah, and that's, I'm happy for you.
Like when people tell me like I'll have class like at 2, like at 12:30 or at 2:30, and I'll be at school at 8 a.m.
Okay, yeah, you're at school really early. You're at
that's
school
yeah,
really
that's early. A lot. I can't even get to my 8:45 class in one time.
Okay, guys, back to the tips.
Back to the tip.
I'm not done.
We'll stop talking about the sleep habits.
So
build good sleep habits, kids. Don't do what I do.
Sleep habits, eating habits, also, and just your morning routine. If it's consistent, if it's the same thing day in day out, it's usually much simpler to go through your morning. Because for example, you know, if you wake up and you wake up at an odd time and you decide, okay, what am I going to eat today, right? You're going to make your breakfast. If you make a different breakfast every day, you kind of have to think through your process a bit more. It takes a bit more brain power. But if you eat the same thing, the same time every day, it's a really easy routine to get into. It's a really straightforward path. And I've been, you know, sticking to my schedule for a few years now, and I've honestly loved it. You know, it's always consistent, it's always the same thing, and it's very efficient now. It's gotten very efficient. My sister has told me that I'm kind of a boring person and that I don't have enough flexibility in my schedule. And the freedom.
I remember, well, this also goes back somewhat to the study tips we had in that podcast episode we did with Tamara, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where you were like, you scheduled down to like the 15 minutes, wasn't it? Or something.
Yeah,
like
yeah, pretty much. But that's my tip. It might not work for everyone, but you know, obviously the wake up time can vary between person, but the more, I'll use some quality control talk, the more you can reduce variations between your iterations, the better your process is controlled, the better you can achieve controllable results.
Do you mean a process that is in statistical control and stable?
Yes, that's what I meant.
You guys are nerds.
I'm a proud nerd. What can I tell you?
Coming
I
mean, from nerd. Another fellow nerd. Come on, dude.
I am absolutely a nerd, but like this, that was a bit much even for me. Like, but yes, build habits, but you didn't have to word it that way. That was a lot.
No, no, it was needed. It was refreshing. But kind of to close off my tip, I read this book. You guys probably have heard me talk about it many times. It's the book is called Straight How to Be a Straight A Student by Cal Newport, C-A-L, the guy's name, Cal Newport. And I think it's from that book, actually. I saw that statistic, you know, the 80% thing of your habits formed during your university years. And that book really, really taught me how to structure my study. How to be effective and just how to be a better student. Because at first, my first semester, I wasn't really good at it. It took me a lot of effort to get decent grades. Now it's much easier. Yeah.
Nice.
That's my spiel. What's your tip, Anthony?
Well, it's this one is the most generic out of all the ones we have here. But it's that, like, the grade that you get is not the goal you should be striving for. It's something that, I'm going to talk about Yu-Gi-Oh! For a bit. So, for those of you who don't know, I enjoy Yu-Gi-Oh! The children's card game. And one of the things that's important to know about it is that whatever is the winningest deck right now, or whatever is the winning, like whatever wins the most, tends to not be because it's like has a specific win condition or because it has a specific way to get stuff onto they call it in Yu-Gi-Oh! The field. It's because it is the most consistent. It has the most options for the way that it gets from point A to its end. It's like the more generic a card is in Yu-Gi-Oh, typically the better it is. And that's why if you look back, most of the old cards that you might have heard of if you ever watched the TV show as a kid, those ones have been changed over time because they were too generic. And that's my tip to be a better student, is not to focus on getting a good grade. It's to make sure that you are able to consistently output good quality work. In much the same way as a Yu-Gi-Oh! Player eliminates cards that are proving to be inconsistent in their deck. That's why, unfortunately, sorry George to say this, but Blue Eyes White Dragon will never be a good deck, because you can have a hand that you can't do anything with like 4 out of 5 times.
That's true.
It is called Brick Eyes White Dragon because half the time your hand is as valuable as a brick. But increasing your consistency, increasing the quality of your work is the most surefire way to get a good grade, because a grade is like, it is a measure of how well you've conformed to what the teacher has expected of you. So getting an A+ in a class means, yes, the student gave me exactly what I wanted. It does not mean that you are smarter or dumber than anyone else. Having a perfect 4.3 GPA does not mean that you are the smartest person on the planet. It might, but it does not necessarily mean that. It does not mean that you are better than anyone else. It just means that you have given the professors what they wanted from you. And that's what a grade is. And the way that you can make sure you get better grades more consistently is to make it so that no matter what the professor's expectations are, your work meets that. And this also does go back to Tim's advice a little bit, because ensuring that you have high quality work is the best way to, like, is a good habit to build in university. It's something that I took high school building. People know that I tried very hard in high school to build up good work habits so that I would be able to just continue riding along them in the harder parts of school. A lot of people took high school as just a free ride to get good grades. I wanted to make sure that I was building good habits for making good quality work. And that helped me a lot in CEGEP. It helped me a lot in university. It's not too late to start now, but the important thing is making sure that no matter what situation you're presented with, your work will satisfy the condition, like the criteria that the professor has for you. If those criteria are unreasonable, then they're unreasonable, and you have to acknowledge that and move on. But if the criteria are reasonable, like good quality work will always be recognized and accepted.
Yeah.
I really like your tip.
Yeah, that is pretty solid.
Yeah, I really
like it. Yeah, and I bet you guys didn't expect that when I started talking about Yu-Gi-Oh!
No. But you said Brick Eyes.
It is called Brick Eyes White Dragon in the community. It's rough. I'm sorry.
It's true. I like though when you said that, you know, you have to present consistent results. That, you know, means you gotta be repeatable. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I sure. like it's basically like make sure it's not about it is about getting the right answer, but also doing the right steps to get to a good answer. Like if in safety, INDU 410, there was the second assignment is kind of an open-ended question. If I remember correctly, it's like here's the data set for all the trains in Europe. Analyze which ones should have their railway crossings rebuilt to be safer.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's like identify the three best ones to replace based on using like this much money as the worth of a human life, just so that like because people get killed on train tracks sometimes, unfortunately. And so I went ahead with my tried and true method of like, okay, how should I approach this problem? What is the best answer, my best answer to this problem? And I ended up getting, I remember getting a decent grade on that assignment, even though I like, it was a very open-ended question and you're kind of going in blind. It's like, it's just a matter of making sure that your work is of good quality consistently.
Mm-hmm. That's a fair tip. A perfect answer if it's submitted poorly. In a poor,
yeah,
poor fashion, will always get a worse grade than.
Well, not even that, but like getting just the right answer, but not knowing how you got to it is not. You don't learn much. Like I've spoken to people who have, above a 3.9 GPA, and they can't tell me what they learned last semester. They don't remember.
Oof.
They don't remember what they learned a year ago. They don't. Because what they were focused on was just getting the good grade. They were not focused on producing high quality work and learning what they're supposed to learn and getting good, like not getting good results, but like you get it. Like producing high quality work was not their focus. It was just, I want to get a good grade. How can I do that?
Yeah, it's a good point, because a lot of times companies, when they hire you, they don't care about your
grade. Yeah, they really like, there's very few companies that do.
Very few. You know, they just want to know that you're doing decently well at school and that you produce, you know, you're hardworking and you produce good work, like you were saying, consistent quality work. That's what they want in an employee.
Well, yeah, and like the thing is, a GPA is a good way to measure that, but also honestly, companies really don't care that much about your GPA. Like a GPA, it was a friend of mine, Hamza, that told me this. Like the way he used GPA is that it is your capability to continue doing university.
Oh.
So on a scale of 0 to 4.3, how able are you to go to the next step of difficulty kind of thing? So like a 3 out of 4.3 or 4.0 is what you need to do master's studies or like graduate studies. So like it is straight up like that's all that your grade is. A company will not look at your grade and be like, hey, you are not good enough for this company. There are some that do that, but they're like,
they only mainly really, consulting companies.
But yeah, that's like really, it's really rare to find that. And yeah, that's it.
Good value tip, Anthony. That was pretty good.
Isn't that the Walmart brand? No, that's Great Value.
Great Value, yeah. Great Value. Or it's Everyday Low Prices.
No, that's the motto.
Yeah, the brand is great value.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
They also have George. Anyways, this is off topic.
President's Choice also?
That's not that's, Walmart. That's Loblaws. That's Loblaws, yeah.
Sorry.
Anyways, now that we've done our brand trivia.
Oh, man. Yeah, I like your tip, Anthony. That whole concept of grades matter less and less kind of dawned on me, specifically this semester. Just previous semesters, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm gonna max my grades. If, you know, if for me, it was like, if I get an A, I'm satisfied. If I get a B minus, I'm like, oof, that was close to a B.
Okay. Yeah, it's very odd coming from me, but at no point have I cared about my grades.
Yeah, and he gets the best grades in the whole class.
But like, that's... like that's the reason I get those grades is because I don't care.
Yeah. And really this semester I've never spent as much time, you know, enjoying other social activities than just school. And I've done pretty well in my midterms, pretty well in my quizzes and assignments. And I've been pretty really enjoying this last semester, honestly, with you guys. I love you guys.
That's cute. Love you too, man.
Love you too, buds.
Okay. I want to jump into...
Bro moment there, anyways.
Yeah, bro moment. Okay.
Anyways, next, we had another topic, right?
There's one more topic I'd like to discuss before we wrap up. Electives. This is one of the things that... is very common for younger Indus to ask older students, like, what electives should we take? What electives should we do? I'll go first. This is the elective that I recommend. Not because it's the most easy or the professor is the best one. Well, currently she is. She is really good. But it's INDU 466. INDU 466 is decision models in service sectors. So that really surprised me. That course really surprised me. I thought it would be like more like business stuff because it talks about like service, the service sector. I'm taking this class, by the way, with George. And it surprised me the amount of mathematical models we solve in that class. Like we learned...
How did you expect it to be anything? It's called decision models in the service sector.
But I didn't expect mathematical models. Come on,
what
guys.
Did you think it? What like I don't... like supermodels? What did you think it was? Models of car?
Plane models. That was in train models were okay, mostly okay, what I was thinking of.
That's fair. No, okay. But like a decision model is a mathematical model.
Yeah. Now I do know. I know now. The things you learn. That class honestly feels like I wouldn't say it's OR3 because OR2 was a huge step. OR2 is a pretty tough class. By the way, you do need OR2 to do that class. There's mathematical modeling. I feel like the 466 is more like OR2.25. You learn a few more stuff about modeling, especially multi-objective decision models, so the multi-objective optimization. But apart from that, the models are relatively straightforward, not too complicated. There was one huge one, but we didn't use it. But all in all, a really nice class to review OR models. Like this semester, I've learned much more, or I've learned to be much better at making mathematical models, and that was pretty fun.
Yeah, that was the same for me. When I'm taking it now with Tim, I've really like become better at models, especially since the professor is awesome.
Oh, she's amazing.
She's awesome. Yeah.
She, I really appreciate she teaches her. Teaches really well, very kind. She listens to you, and yeah. If you're wondering, I think I'd have to double check that one. I'm pretty sure the only prerequisites for 466 is I really don't want to induce anyone into error.
The only prerequisites are ENGR 371.
Yeah.
Which is
statistics and probabilities.
And then ENDU 320. You don't even have to take OR.
That is odd.
Yeah, so you only have to take probability and stats. I'm looking at it right now on Concordia's website.
Okay.
Yeah, you only have to take probability and statistics and production engineering.
You're right. I'm also on the Concordia
why would
website.
I, why would I? This
I was sure there'd be OR, like at least OR 2.
It's very odd to me. But yeah.
So while we're here, why not? Here's a description for 466. Introduction to service strategy and operations. Service demand forecasting and development of new services.
Brother, there's like 12 more lines.
Too bad. There's queuing models, risk management. That was pretty nice. Service outsourcing and supply chain, healthcare, case studies, statistical techniques. Yeah, some pretty decent stuff. It was a good class. Like I'm happy I made that choice. What about you, boys?
George, you had a particular one, right?
Yep, I did. I have 1.5 recommendations. I'll explain why the half. So the actual recommendation for electives is for me is INDU 441, Introduction to Six Sigma. I think this, in my opinion, is the most important elective for an industrial engineer. Six Sigma is a huge tool used in the industry today, whether it is aerospace, pharmaceutical, whether it's the food industry, any manufacturing facility uses Six Sigma because they follow the DMAIC approach, the Define, Measure, Analyze, Improve, and Control approach. And Six Sigma is kind of like, it's a good management tool as well. It's a good skill to have under your belt. If you take the course at school, it allows you to, well, number one, it'll be easier for you after to get what you call your Six Sigma belts. So in real life, you can get your belts for Six Sigma. You start, typically, companies start you at a green belt, and you could work all the way up to a champion. You go green belt, black belt, master black belt, and champion. The course does not give you the belt, just giving you the heads up. If you want to do a belt, it's a separate thing yourself. You have to do it with the school. The school offers it as well. If you want to do your belt, the school does offer it. I think it's every June, or if not, there's plenty of places online you could do your belts to get certified. Or if you work for a company, a lot of times they might pay for you to do your certifications. So Six Sigma really teaches you how to be also like a good project manager and how to organize your projects using the DMAIC approach. I really, really love this course because it also applies something called quality control, which I'm a huge fanatic for those who don't know of quality control.
He's the TA currently and was last year as well.
So that was my half recommendation. If you are a mechanical or aerospace engineering student, you can take INDU 372 as a technical elective, which is quality control and reliability, which is one of my favorite courses. I actually recommend it a lot. Number one, because I'm biased. Number two, because
that's the best reason.
At least you admit it. I'm happy that you. Sometimes people are like, "I'm not biased," but I'm but biased. You are.
And number two, because I actually think it's a really good course and it's very applicable to today's world. You could use quality control if you work in manufacturing all the time, and knowing the software we need to have is valuable because it's actually a pretty good software. It's pretty advanced. And it's very easy to use as well. So that's my tip for courses. I don't know if you guys had any comments on that or.
No, I think Six Sigma is a really good one. For those of you who are interested in it, I'm going to recommend that you look into the basis of what a Six Sigma process is, because it's actually a numerical thing. It is not an abstract concept that you can never reach. It is. Like, once you've reached this goal, you have a Six Sigma process. If I remember correctly, like, a lot of the big directors at Walmart are master black belts in Six Sigma.
Oh, wow.
From what I remember. Wow. At least the ones that, like, would actually, like, the director of HR is obviously not going to have a master black belt in Six Sigma, but, like, the ones that would find it useful have it. And yeah, it's a very useful topic, and even Disney very much priority, like these big companies that ever, like, they're household names now. They use the Six Sigma as a, like, methodology for their work, because it's a very powerful methodology and it helps you accomplish a lot.
What I like about the Six Sigma methodology is the first letter, define. When I did my internship at Lion Electric, my mentor, she always came up to me. She would always start off like projects being like, all right, Tim, what do? What's the first thing we do? We define the problem. We define the problem. If you don't know what your problem is, you're gonna waste your time. And I like that tip from her, and that's why I feel like Six Sigma is a good tool under your belt.
Yeah.
It does have a pretty comprehensive project, though. You got to be ready for it.
Yeah, it's well, yeah, the project is pretty involved, but it's not that much more difficult than like your Indoor 372 project.
It's very similar. It's
Yeah.
very, very similar to
Yeah.
your quality control project, from what I remember.
I mean, like the whole project for Six Sigma is a bit more structured
Well, yeah, because that's kind of the point of Six Sigma is to give you a structure. But yeah, like, it's a very, very helpful class, and I think all three of us have taken it now. Or Georgia is currently
Yeah.
taking it, right?
Yeah,
Yeah, and
currently.
we've all seen the value of Six Sigma, and we've all, I think, used it. We used it in our capstone to structure the whole project, and I
Oh,
think almost every team did the same. Because
yeah.
it's like, it's just the most straightforward way to structure a project.
Yes, sir.
I guess I'm gonna use this moment to segue into my suggestion, because we've been talking for a good while now. I'm gonna the only technical There's two technical electives that I found useful, but the thing is, like, the technical electives that you do are gonna be It's kind of supposed to be informed by what you want to do in the future. I'm not going to say that this is like a blanket statement for everyone. I'm going to say that these are the two things that I found really provided me with an insight where I didn't previously have one, or provided me with a useful set of skills. So there's CASES in Indoor 480. I'm going to say it's a very it introduces you to the way kind of consulting works, where it's like you get a project, you solve the project, you present your solution. You get a project, you solve the project, you present your solution, and it's a repeated process. You do it 6 times in the semester, and that's the course load. Is it's 6 case studies. There's no material that you're taught. You're just applying your ideas, and it does teach you to approach a problem with your industrial engineering techniques and to think through the problem. And I think that's kind of the valuable part of what you learn in that course. It also does have a presentation aspect, but that part is kind of voluntary. You at least don't need to usually present to, like, it's not counted as part of your grade. The other one I'm gonna say that was useful in helping me think a bit differently was, I'm not sure if you guys hear that. Anyway, sorry, there's people moving around upstairs. Indoor 475 is Advanced Concepts in Quality Control.
Ooh,
I'm
yeah.
going to say that the design of experiments idea is something that we ended up using in Capstone, and it was kind of like, for me, it was just kind of revealing the obvious, but it was putting something into perspective that I had been. Like, we all do design of experiments. We all think about it, but this course does give you a structured method to do it. And it's not a very, like, it doesn't have all that much theory in the course, but like, what theory there is very important. It is very, like, it's not, it, I'm gonna say it's not theory intensive, but the theory that is there is, like, that's something you should pay attention to, because it does teach you something very valuable about how to approach a problem and how to think about what your results mean. And for myself, it was something that I was already doing, but not necessarily consciously aware of. Now, That being said, I took safety because it was a very, I found it to be a helpful elective for me. I wanted to take into account safety in the future. And that's, I like, this is all to say, like, the reason I'm bringing this up now is because I feel that you should take these suggestions with a grain of salt. These are the courses that we have found enlightening and that have worked for us and the career path that we want to work on. George wants to be a Lean Six Sigma champion at a company one day. Tim wants to work in, I don't even know, man, but like, he wants to be mech, so I don't know why he's still doing Indu courses. And for myself, I really like operations research, and I like data analysis and looking at the numerical reasons behind things. And for me, if you look at all of my technical electives, they were majority math. Like, safety is looking at the math, well, not majority math, but like, it's looking at a lot of the math behind safety. Like, there's a big portion of the class that is like, the company wants to be in this safety range, which means that we have to have this probability of something happening to someone on site, and et cetera, et cetera. And it was very helpful to me, but like, not everyone will be interested in that topic. Not everyone will find it as important to their career path. And that's, I guess, what I want to say is, make sure that you are taking technical electives, not just to fulfill your degree requirements, but to actually learn something that you feel will be useful in the future.
It's a valid point. I see so many people taking electives like, what's the easiest elective I can get, like a,
yeah, and an there are A out. There are definitely electives that are easy A's, but like, you're not necessarily going to learn much in that.
That is true. That is true.
It's about what you enjoy learning, not about how easy it is, right? But in general, the electives are, in my opinion, a little bit easier than your core classes.
Oh, that, like, it's because these electives are more specific topics. They're not going to cover nearly as much content as a core course is going to. But, like, what they teach you is important in its own way, and it is meant to teach you a specific, about a specific skill or a specific topic. So, yeah, that's my little spiel that I like giving about technical electives.
It's a good one. Good, pretty good, Anthony. Thanks for sharing, guys. You know, we're graduating soon. We have, I don't view myself as being like, oh, I have this wisdom because I'm graduating, you know, the fourth year in wisdom. But I've seen a few people, I've heard a few people come up to me and they're like, we want to know what's your input, what's your take on this second year Indu classes or whatever. And I'm happy we were able to kind of get a bit of that on our podcast on record. So maybe future students, who knows, 4 years down the line, they're listening to this and they're like, oh, shoot, I'm going to take.
Why is this guy bringing up Yu-Gi-Oh? I thought this was about industrial engineering. What's happening?
Yu-Gi-Oh doesn't exist anymore. What is that?
It's been around for 25 years. It'll be around long after we die.
But guys, I want to respect your time. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast. I really appreciate it. It's been good finishing up part two of our first episode. And yeah, I mean, I'm also graduating, but I want to say congrats on graduating. It's been a long time in the making, guys. Congrats.
Thank you for having us, Tim. It was I loved it.
Thanks for inviting us.
It's a pleasure. Of course. Thank you for coming. And so we're gonna close off the episode here. And so to everyone who's listening, see you soon. Bye, guys.